Warning: the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Today's episode has intense discussion regarding suicide. Viewer discretion is advised. And welcome to Words to Kill By, the podcast where word nerds and true crime fans come to hang out. My name is Erin, and I am your host, and here with me today is my sometimes co-host, Hector.
How you doing, guys?
So let's get right into our case today, our very first case, because this is the perfect example of just how much words can hurt. In this situation, one person actually killed somebody using just their words, or at least says the judge.
Just their words, huh?
Correct. So this podcast is all about healthy debates, and you'll probably hear and see some of that as we go along. We want these cases to be discussed, but most particularly the language evidence. So this is a tale about text messages, murder, and mental health. And not necessarily in that order. So by now, I think most of you might have heard of or seen, possibly, the Hulu series, The Girl from Plainview. Have you seen that yet?
No, you said I couldn't watch it.
That's true. I didn't want you to watch anything. I wanted to talk about it first. This is the case about Michelle Carter, and it's kind of made her a household name. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the case, and as we go along, the language evidence that shows up. Most of the time in our episodes, we're not really going to go this much in depth or this far back in history, but we needed to go over all of these text messages to show how this case evolved and how Michelle's text messages to her boyfriend Conrad actually changed over the course of their relationship.
I mean, that makes sense.
Okay. All right, so Michelle Carter was born in 1996 in Plainville, Massachusetts. She lived an average suburban life with her mom, dad, and younger sister. Her mom was an interior stage decorator for real estate offices. Her dad was a manager at a forklift store. So she was a good student. She played on the softball team, but she did struggle with an eating disorder and depression. Her eating disorder actually started when she was about 8 or 9 years old. In the text messages she has with her boyfriend Conrad, she frequently references her group therapy sessions, counseling, and medication, not just for herself, but for Conrad, because he was also going through some mental health crisis. But there was nothing really in Michelle's early childhood, or even like her late childhood, her high school life, that gave clues that she would be capable of talking someone into dying. Okay? All right, so Conrad Roy III was born in 1995. His childhood wasn't quite as idyllic as Michelle's. His parents divorced in 2011, and the relationship between his parents remained very tense. So Conrad was super devastated by the divorce, and so much so that he actually attempted suicide early in 2012. In February of 2014, just about 5 months before Conrad died, his father was arrested for beating Conrad, like assault and battery beating.
Wow.
And at that point, Conrad was 18. So Conrad was also verbally abused by his grandfather and uncle. There isn't a whole lot of information to support that. It did come out in the court case, but who knows how long any of this has been going on. So there's definitely abuse in his past.
Absolutely. It sounds no foundation. No. Wow.
Right. So he suffered from depression and debilitating social anxiety. Like, not just people being out in public made him nervous. It was actually very debilitating. And he was in and out of different counseling and therapy offices, as well as different inpatient and outpatient programs. Some sources say he attempted suicide as many as 4 times, while others say it was really only about 3 times. And this is all prior to his actual death. Okay, so relationship history. So it was a nice sunny day in 2012 when Conrad Roy III and Michelle Carter first met. Michelle was 17, Conrad was 18, and it really kind of seemed like kismet, like it was destiny for them to meet, because they met in Florida, but they both lived in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Right. They were visiting relatives in Florida.
All the stars aligned.
Apparently. Or so they thought. But back home, they had only lived in Massachusetts. They only lived about 50 miles apart. So they exchanged numbers and they began a relationship that really consisted mostly of phone calls, emails, text messages. They met in person either 4 or 5 times within 2 years, depending on the source. It was either 5 times or 4 times in 2 years. That's how much they saw each other face to face. So now I'm just going to go through and read some of these text messages between the two. They shared thousands and thousands of text messages within their relationship. And I'll have some of these linked. It's 184 pages of text messages, and I'll have that linked at our website, and I'll give that out at the end of our episode. So June 1st, 2014, and Conrad and Michelle, this is kind of the beginning of the end, really. Conrad and Michelle are talking about their different mental health issues. Conrad is trying to explain to Michelle how difficult social anxiety is and what it's like to be in these social settings. He's very sad about repeatedly failing in his mind and not doing well in treatment. Michelle tells him she understands, she wants to help him, and then she tells him she wants to go to a rehab place called McLean's for her eating disorder. She then tries to coax Conrad into going back to an inpatient therapy, which he had just left. So her text message says, quote, "Let's get better and fight this together. Let's do this together," end quote. Conrad doesn't respond about going back to rehab until much later that day when Michelle presses him again. Michelle says, "Oh, well, what do you think?" Conrad says, "Well, I probably won't. I'll just try to learn how to start conversations and keep them." Michelle's immediate response, "No, you won't. You say you'll do it on your own and you say you'll get better, but you won't and you know it. Please come." So she went from being sweet and understanding to a more demanding, confrontational approach in less than 2 hours. The word choice doesn't sit very well with Conrad either. He doesn't particularly like it because his response is, "I don't need anyone else telling me what to do." So Conrad at this point is able to kind of stand up for himself, and Michelle recognizes that she can't push in that way, so she backs off. And she goes back and says, "I'm sorry, I just really think it will help you, Conrad. I don't want you feeling this way anymore. I want you to be happy." So Michelle tells him that she doesn't want him to be suicidal anymore, and Conrad asks her to please not mention it anymore. He had recently already thought about suicide again, and he says he knows, quote, "it's not an option." Michelle says, "Okay, good, I'm sorry. Promise me right now that you won't." This is important, so listen. Michelle says, "Okay, good, I'm sorry. Promise me right now that you won't." Conrad's reply is very interesting. He says, "No, there's no way." Did you catch it?
Yeah.
What do you see? Or what do you hear?
There's no way. There's no way he can promise that he won't, is what I heard.
Okay. So Michelle says, "Promise me right now that you won't." He says, "There's no way." His reply is super vague. He could be saying that there's no way he'll promise not to commit suicide, right, or that there's no way he would commit suicide. Michelle assumes he's saying there's no way he would commit suicide, but that's not really what happens. He's saying there's no way he can make that promise. Please excuse our barking dogs in the back. So 18 days later, June 19th, 2014, this is about 4 weeks before Conrad's death, and it appears that Michelle and Conrad have broken up. Michelle says, "I didn't know you liked me that much before, and I'm sorry that I ditched you a lot. I should have realized what I had when I had it," end quote. She rambles on some more in the same message about how she doesn't think she was good enough for him, and she treated him like crap because she wanted him to go and find somebody else that's better. Then she says, quote, "You made me so happy, Conrad, for like the first time in my life. Being your girlfriend was everything I've wanted and more. I just took it for granted, and I'm sorry. You were the first boy who made me feel loved and important and visible." and I want more than anything for you to be in my life forever. You're one of the best things that has ever happened to me. You still make me so happy and so proud, and I want you to know that I'll never give up on you. Even when you give up on yourself, I'll still be fighting for you. Always. I know you don't want to date again, but I'll always love you. Yeah. So, after saying how he will always love her too, Conrad forgives Michelle, and then he texts, "I'm still here, aren't I? Even after all the times you treated me like shit, haha. I never left you. And especially through all the hard times, I've always stood by you and supported you. I tried to never let you go through this alone because I know how hard it is. If I gave up on you when you needed me the most, I would never forgive myself." End quote. And they go on and on about how they forgive each other for hurtful actions and words and about how happy they are to be communicating again. And then Michelle kind of tries to push Conrad into dating again. And Michelle says, "Well, you already made it clear you don't want to date again." Conrad says, "Well, when did I say that?" And Michelle says, "I've asked you, and every time you say no, that it won't work." End quote. 15 minutes pass by with no response, and then Conrad replies, "IDK." Right? So text, message, shorthand for I don't know. So IDK, I don't remember saying that. Michelle, "So you wanna?" Conrad, "IDK, maybe." Okay. So it kind of all sounds like typical teenage romance with maybe a little extra dose of drama, but you can already see and hear how Michelle is pressuring him and kind of manipulating him to get what she wants or to bring him around to her way of seeing things. Conrad this time isn't outright saying, you know, "Stop telling me what to do." He's really hedging a bit more. This could be because he's not sure if he actually wants to date. It could be because he doesn't want to outright tell Michelle no. And it could be just that he's tired of telling her no because it sounds like he's already told her no repeatedly and he's just trying to get the conversation over with.
The latter sounds what I think.
Okay. Note, however, that at one point Michelle says she didn't know that Conrad liked her so much, that much before. Yet later in the same text message exchange, she tells him how much she loves him and knows he loves her. So one of these statements isn't true. Either she knew he loved her and she loved him, or she didn't know that Conrad liked her that much.
I think she knew. She's just playing the strings.
Okay. I would agree with that. So in this same text string, Michelle tells Conrad repeatedly that he will never actually commit suicide because deep down he doesn't really want to die. And Conrad takes this as a challenge and he ups the suicide talk, seemingly to convince her of just how serious he actually is. They start talking about it more and more, and Michelle keeps telling him more and more, "You're not really going to do it. You never were really going to do it because you don't actually want to die." So Conrad says, quote, "Can I tell you something? There's nothing anyone can do for me that's gonna make me want to live. It's very bad to hear, but I want to let you know that, truthfully, I haven't been happy with myself ever. I have split personalities and I don't know who I am. I try to copy everyone else and I'm just never gonna be me."
Wow.
Okay, so he's being very, very plain and very obvious of how he feels.
That's pretty blunt.
It is. And then two texts later, because Michelle's still arguing with him, he outright says, in all capital letters, "I want to die." So these two statements alone are very strong and concise and direct, and it indicates his truthfulness.
Absolutely.
So here is about the time when Michelle starts turning. She goes from, you know, "I know you don't want to die. Please don't do this. I can't live without you" kind of talk to this. Quote, "I know you want to, but I just don't get why you're still holding on if you want to so badly. I know you want to and you research it and everything, but are you actually really gonna do it?"
Wow. Almost pushing. Almost. Here's the handle to the blade.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what a lot of people think too. But some people think maybe she's just super frustrated and like trying to almost shock him out of his thoughts. Conrad said he's trying to find a way to ensure success because 96% of attempts result in failure. That's his quote. 96% of attempts result in failure. Michelle's response isn't to reassure him or to try to talk him out of it again. She says, Well, how badly do you want to be in that 4%? Mm. Those direct quotes from her text, the text message. How badly do you want to be in that 4%? Why would you say that to somebody you love? I don't care how old you are. All right. So over the next several hours, this is still June 19th, they discuss multiple ways for Conrad to kill himself. Sleeping pills, hanging, burning, stabbing himself. They are having this conversation and about, let's try stabbing yourself. Well, I don't want to leave a mess and I don't have anywhere to do it. Okay. Conrad comes up with many reasons for why these methods won't work. And again, Michelle has the opportunity to steer him away from harm, but instead she says this. Quote, you say you want to die so bad, Conrad, but you aren't willing to try anyways to die. You said nothing is 100%, so all the kids in the world have committed suicide knew that too, but they tried and were successful.
Jeez.
Yeah. So they argue some more, and then they decide to call it a night. The next day, Conrad tells Michelle he's been talking to this kid in Britain, and this kid gave Conrad the idea of poisonous seeds. And Michelle tells Conrad, just go drink bleach. Quote, unquote, just drink bleach.
Just drink bleach.
Mm-hmm. July 1st, and suddenly Conrad is feeling better. He had a good therapist appointment that made him feel as if there was some hope, and Conrad was actually making plans for the future, specifically 4th of July, a couple days after this event. So later that night, he tells Michelle that the reason he was in such a good mood was because he smoked some weed, some marijuana, the night before, and it was amazing. He said he went hours without thinking about suicide. Michelle's response. What do you think her response will be?
Well, the way she's been hands on the knife, I mean, it's not going to work forever. That's what I would think. I mean, she'd probably just steer him right back into it.
Okay. So her response, you block out your problems and worries for a short time, but when you wake up, reality sets in again. Okay. Smoking isn't going to be the thing that saves you and gets you better. So, wow. Good call. Gets a little better, though. Hold on.
Oh.
Conrad continues to try to convince her of how much smoking marijuana helped him, that it was the first time he felt optimistic. But Michelle just didn't want to hear about it. So, she said, would you rather spend your life smoking blunts and being high all the time so you don't have to face your problems like a man?
Wow. Went straight to his ego, straight to his pride when, my goodness.
Right. So 18-year-old young man being told he's not doing what a man should be doing.
But she loves him and she cares.
And she doesn't want him to commit suicide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the reasons that she could feel so strongly against marijuana? It was illegal. In 2014, at this time, it was illegal in Massachusetts. Mm. You know, maybe she's had prior issues with, you know, with weed or marijuana, with other things. Maybe it's something that they talk strongly about in her therapy sessions. So there could be some reasons for it. My question is why push so hard when the alternative of him not smoking? So why push so hard when the alternative is worse than smoking marijuana?
Unless that was her actual, go to. I mean, that's her end goal was his ultimate demise. She started saying all these awesome things. That's wow.
And keep in mind, she's 17 years old. So using the words not face your problems like a man is a obvious direct attack to his emotional status, and to attempt to break down his character and tell him that he is less than a man.
Break down those walls.
Absolutely. So that is her point in choosing and using those words, and that's going to be important. So then Conrad directly tells her that he doesn't want to face his problems because he's on the verge of doing something permanent to my life. And if something doesn't change ever, it's not the answer, but it could lead me in the right direction. He's saying that this helps him. It kind of clears his mind maybe so enough that he can process through the other stuff that has been really dragging him down. I don't know. I'm not for or against marijuana use. We live in Colorado, so obviously people think everybody in Colorado smoke. It's not the case in reality, but there has definitely been research upon research that shows that marijuana has medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
So moving on from that so we don't get bogged down in there. Michelle doesn't bend when Conrad tells him it's not the answer, but it could lead him in the right direction. So she doesn't bend. She tries to shame him. She calls him messed up and that weed would change him into somebody that she couldn't love. That being high all the time would make Conrad into somebody that she could not love.
I think it was, if he was getting better, it was not somebody that she could love.
I think that's exactly it. So throughout the rest of July 1st and into the wee hours of July 2nd, Michelle keeps asking Conrad if he's still researching ways to die. Remember, Conrad's feeling better about life. He has optimistic views. He's making plans. Her goal is, hey, are you still researching ways to die? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's kick that kickstand out from under
you. Yeah, yeah. So if he still thinks about suicide, is he going to do it soon? How soon is it going to be? Conrad tells her that he'll make his attempt in the next 24 hours. They tell each other I love you, and they sign off and go to sleep. Wow. I love you. Good night. So more suicide methods are discussed throughout, like after they wake up. Jumping off a tugboat that Conrad works on, and he says, I'll jump off the boat and hope for hypothermia. Pills aren't an option because he had tried that previously on a previous suicide attempt. He tried a Tylenol or acetaminophen overdose, right? Mm-hmm. And he said it was painful and he was 2 hours from dying and he doesn't want to do pills again. He says it needs to, or they say it needs to be at night. It can't be anything that leaves a mess. And even through all of this, Michelle is still telling him, quote, I just don't think you're really going to try it.
She's the hype man, the wrong
the
way.
Hype, yeah, the wrong way. The next text is actually maybe she's quote unquote, she says, I'm starting to believe you. So she's starting to believe he will do it. So this starts a whole new string of questions. She asks him repeatedly if she is his girlfriend. So she's like, okay, I'm starting to believe that you're really going to do this.
Are we a couple?
Am I your girlfriend? Because remember, they had broken up. And at this point, they tell each other they love each other. They talk all the time, but they had not done...
Solidified or...
Got back together.
Okay.
So finally, she says, here's her reasoning for why she's asking this. Are you ready?
Okay.
I want to be able to say I was your girlfriend.
Wow.
I want to be able to say I was your girlfriend. This statement is absolutely chilling. It's not about Conrad dying.
Absolutely not. It's all about her.
Right. And do you notice the past tense? I want to be able to say I was your girlfriend. In her mind,
he's done it.
He's already dead. Okay. So she's already planning for after his death. Remember, 14 minutes earlier, she was already telling him she expects him to fail and to not even really try to commit suicide. And now she slips up and shows that not only does she think he'll do it, she wants him to do it.
You think she slipped up or she threw it in there kind of like everything else? The ebbs and flows of her supposed kindness but then madness kind of just ebb and flow there.
I think this was a slip up.
Okay.
So this is evidence that she really had an ulterior motive for her comments about Conrad never really going to commit suicide. Okay. It wasn't that she was trying to help him not commit suicide so much as she was egging him on that he's not man enough to follow through.
Yeah, but this is all about her. After that, you know, she can stand up on the pulpit per se and say, yes, I was his girlfriend, right? I saw it, making it all about her, not about him anymore.
Correct. So poor Conrad eventually agrees that, yes, she is his girlfriend. Kinda. Michelle says, I want to be able to say I was your girlfriend. Conrad, yes, you are. Michelle, I am? Smiley face. Conrad, I guess, LOL, IDKK.
What's IDKK?
I don't know.
I don't know, no?
Okay. Sure. We better look that up. If you know, somebody, like, send us a message about what it actually means.
Please.
So Conrad's words say that he is far from certain about their relationship status, about whether he really wants to be in a committed relationship with Michelle. But he's definitely certain about his desire to die. Remember earlier, he outright says, I want to die.
Right.
If he was as convicted about his relationship with Michelle, he would sound a lot more certain than what he is. All right, so moving on. July 3rd. And Michelle starts the day by asking Conrad if today, quote unquote, today is the day. Is today the day?
Oh my goodness.
He says it is, and she berates him again, saying, how hard are you going to try? Quote. And then, quote, I don't think you're really serious about this. Like, I know you say you're gonna, but you are seriously gonna try? Because I don't want to seem like a fool. End quote.
So, I don't want to seem like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, who's she telling at this point? Okay.
Okay. So, this last bit is another slip by Michelle.
Okay.
She doesn't want to seem like a fool. About what? She'll tell us. Conrad asks, why would she feel like a fool? And she said it's because she's been saying how much she'll be, quote, smiling at you in heaven. She, smiling at Conrad, mm-hmm. and everything, and just talking to you like you won't be here tomorrow. I mean, every single word I said to you, but if you're not serious about doing it tonight, then IDK if I should say it all right now. I. Yeah. If you look at that statement, it's all, the pronoun is only about I's.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now we're seeing more and more of where her mind is, where her intentionalities are, and it's all about her and less about him. She's shifting her language to match what she's actually feeling. Okay, so why is she so pushy? Why is she concerned about herself and looking like a fool?
I think, we've played with it all the way through, right? This is more about her. It's not about Conrad. It's about how she's going to look. It's about how she feels. And, you know, to stay away from the psychology side, it just...
Yeah, we're not psychologists. We can't really make any kind of...
Can't play that game, but...
Right.
It's literally how this is going to be for her, how this is going to look and feel to her. And it doesn't matter what he feels, what he says.
Okay. And so she proves this with the next exchange. Like within this same text string, she says randomly, can I have your mom's number so I can talk to her? So this is responding. So she says that. And then the next is, we will be happy in time with you gone. It will be hard at first, but eventually we will forgive and move on and live fearlessly and happy for you.
Forgive.
See, I'm so glad that you pulled that out.
Of course. Well, one, forgive. You want my mom. One, you want your mom, my mom's number. Now, is that to keep me from doing it? Is that to spill the beans? Right. That's what a supposed normal individual would ask that for. I would think, in my opinion. But then the next statement completely nullifies it. Right. Now, so we will go on without you. We will forgive you. Oh, like what?
Right. So you would think, okay, Michelle asked for his mom's number. If you get that number, wouldn't you call her and say, hey, I've been having all of these conversations with your son. He's really suicidal. He needs help. She doesn't do that.
Absolutely not.
Her point is, I need to be able to talk to your mom after you die so I can let them know that I'm your girlfriend.
That I'm there for them, not you. I'm there for them, and we will get through this.
Right. So... Again, remember, Michelle is just 17 years old. These are not normal 17-year-old girl thoughts. Conrad isn't even dead yet, but Michelle's already looking and placing herself as the martyr. Poor Michelle. All right. So the rest of the evening of July 3rd is spent discussing sex, how abstinence is a really good thing, how taping a bag over his head won't actually kill him, but he could try it, where to go to kill himself, to make sure that, and this was the important part for Michelle, that to make sure that Conrad tells Michelle goodbye before he actually does it, and that he still doesn't have an exact plan, but he has this whole list to work through in the few hours they have left with him on Earth. That's how the rest of that goes. So not only does Michelle want to be his last goodbye, but she asks him, hey, can I be your last tweet? His last tweet. So... Michelle says, tweet? Question mark. I want to be your last one. Conrad, I don't want to tweet. Michelle, fine. When a woman says fine, what do you got? Or a girl.
Yeah.
It's not really fine.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay, so Michelle says, fine. Why, though? Conrad, what's it gonna do? Me, I just thought it would be nice. It would make me happy. I've always wanted a nice shout out from you. These are direct quotes. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, she's all about her.
It's just such a WTF moment for me. I have many of them in this case. Okay, July 4th. Conrad took sleeping pills.
Okay.
Michelle couldn't get a response from him and thought that he had actually gone through with it. So she texts him and says, I'm so sorry I couldn't save you. Please come back. This is not happening. You're my best friend. You're my boyfriend. I love you so much. Please don't leave me.
Mm.
Okay. Miraculously, Conrad responds to that. He said he took the pills to help him sleep, not as a suicide attempt. And then Michelle is furious.
Of course.
She told him that he was awful for not going through with it, that he lied about the whole thing and made her pour her whole heart out. And I was thinking it was the last time that she talked to him. This is Michelle. Quote, I thought you really wanted to die, but apparently you don't. I feel played and just stupid.
He made her a fool.
So they argue some more. Conrad's telling her not to feel stupid because he has a plan. Quote, Michelle tells him, you're going to have to prove me wrong because I just don't think you really want to do this. You just keep pushing it off to another night and say you'll do it, but you never do. And Conrad at this point just says, quote, I'll prove you wrong. It was also on this day that they start discussing carbon monoxide poisoning for the first time. So after this exchange, they start talking about ways to kill himself again, ways to commit suicide. And this was the first time that carbon monoxide poisoning comes up. Okay.
After all that research, I'm surprised. Well,
after all that research, that's just it. He says he's been researching. Michelle says he's been researching. And he doesn't have a plan. Like, because he doesn't want a plan, really.
He really doesn't.
He just wants to think about it. So at this point, it's pretty obvious Michelle's trying to manipulate Conrad into committing suicide. She's helping him plan his death, offers disgust and disappointment when he changes his mind rather than happiness that he's still with him or with her, tries to make him feel bad for making her feel and look bad when he doesn't actually go through it.
She's got the writing on the tombstone already, you know, beloved boyfriend, you know, like it's already...
In her mind,
it's done.
Exactly. In her mind, it's already played out. July 5th. So July 5th dawns and Conrad is still alive. Again, he tells Michelle that tonight is the night. And again, they discuss methods and what it's going to be like if Conrad were to overdose on Tylenol. Like what it was like when he actually did overdose on acetaminophen. And so he says... Michelle tells him, maybe if you take some other drugs or drink alcohol with it or some other pills and the acetaminophen, it won't be as painful. So they're talking about that. And then Conrad says, I've got to go into work for a few hours. And Michelle went kayaking. Okay.
I'm going to take some pills. No, you should take a whole handful of pills and some other. I'm going to go kayaking.
Pretty much. So... It seems like this is just part of their everyday conversation now. Like, I brushed my teeth this morning. I had toast for breakfast. You should kill yourself with pills. And I'll talk to you later.
Did you try carbon monoxide?
Right. So Conrad comes home from work later that day. He plays video games for hours and he texts with Michelle. And again, they're discussing different types of poisons. They discuss heroin overdose, alcohol poisoning, how to get arsenic, and how much more acetaminophen than he took last time would it take to actually kill him this time? They got down into the milligrams of what it would take. Yes. July 6th, 12:50 a.m. They had come up with this plan that Conrad was going to take some Benadryl, take some acetaminophen, take some more Benadryl, and then finish it off with acetaminophen. Because he wanted to be sleepy and not feel the pain,
okay.
Hence the Benadryl. So 12:50 a.m., he begins to take this pill mixture that he and Michelle worked out. He starts with 10 Benadryl, but he tells Michelle he thinks he's going to throw up. Okay, that's understandable. Michelle says, quote, By saying you're just going to throw up, though, I can tell you don't want this bad. Saying you'll vomit is kind of like a safe way out.
You keep those pills down. I don't care how you feel.
So Conrad, a few minutes later, replies, quote, I haven't yet. Meaning he hasn't taken the next round of pills yet. I haven't yet because I keep reading things like this. I keep thinking this is a very bad idea.
He doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to die. He doesn't. What does Michelle say?
You're a coward. You open that other pill bottle. Go ahead. That's what I would think.
Michelle's quote, stop reading that stuff. You're taking over the lethal limit anyway, so you'll die quickly. All right. So this attempt fails too. Conrad texts Michelle later in the morning. It was like a 5-hour span from that little conversation to when he texts her next. In between, like before they left for the night, they cut everything off. Michelle tells him to put a bag over his head to try it because he won't feel it and he won't be able to take the bag off of his head because he's going to be passed out with Benadryl. Okay. So the next morning, Conrad texts Michelle and tells her that the bag he placed over his head was ripped. It ripped off sometime during the night, and that was why he was still there. Okay. Now, nobody knows if he actually put the bag over his head or not. Nobody knows if he continued to take the pill mixture. I would say he probably did not.
I'd say he's leading her on. Yeah.
Not leading her on, but he's at this point is telling her what she wants to hear so that she quits harassing him. It's not a lead on. It's self-protection. So Michelle's response was, quote, but I'm tired of you not taking this seriously. Like, if you aren't really going to do it, then stop pretending you are. That's pretty disturbing.
She feels pretty let on. I'm just saying.
She obviously feels some kind of way about it. But the most disturbing series of this, like in this little text, it says, Michelle, hanging yourself if you do it right, you die instantly because your neck snaps. The very next text from Conrad, I love you, Michelle. The next text from Michelle, I love you so much. Hang yourself. If you do it right, you're going to die quick. I love you, Michelle. I love you so much. That is just so sad to me.
Yeah.
Okay. The next 5 days are more the same. Eventually, Conrad and Michelle, they narrow down the plan to do carbon monoxide poisoning. And they really start to work out the fine details. Like, more so than any other plan that they had discussed, they really start making a legit plan, not just throwing out ideas. So, again, Conrad tells Michelle he's really scared to die and he's worried about his family, but he needs to stop overthinking and just do it. Michelle tells him, quote, you're right. You need to stop thinking about it and just do it because overthinking always kills.
Overthinking always kills.
I'm really hoping that there was no pun intended there by her, but OMG for that. Overthinking kills. Not suicide, but overthinking definitely kills. July 11th is the next attempt, and Conrad backs out again. Again, Michelle tells him he's making her life difficult, but not following through, that he's a liar, and he's just making things harder on himself and everybody around him.
Making her life difficult.
Right. And that by not going through with it, he's making her miserable, which he doesn't want to do. He's making it harder for his family because they can't start the process of healing until he's actually done it. Life is just miserable. He needs to go ahead and finish killing himself.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. July 12th, 6:28 p.m. And their plan is formulated. Conrad texts Michelle and says that he's, quote, almost there. Conrad has driven to a parking lot. He's parked his truck. He started up a water pump that he had borrowed from his grandfather and put it inside the truck. And then the exhaust from the pump quickly fills the truck and Conrad passes away.
Wow.
So finally, after all of this, Conrad is dead. And Michelle moves on, right? No. Michelle starts trying to get all the attention she can because she actually told people somebody, she told her friend Sam 2 days before his death that he went missing And she's scared that he's gone missing and doesn't know what he's going to do.
I want all the attention. I have no clue what his plans are. Help
right.
me, poor me.
Right. Okay. All right. So Conrad passes away. Michelle starts her her debut act of the grieving girlfriend. And this is all happening. So during the routine investigation, okay, there's the investigation is going on because it's an unattended death. So there has to be some kind of just make sure it's actual a suicide attempt. Or it's not an attempt, a successful suicide, as sad as that is. The police unearthed these text messages and emails between Conrad and the pretty girl from Plainville, right, who is Michelle. What they found was so disturbing that they actually opened a full criminal investigation. Detective Scott Gordon, who was the lead investigator, he told NBC in an interview, he said, it was one of those things where you keep reading and it just keeps getting worse. And that's what kind of put everything into motion.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this was unheard of at the time because there's no argument that Conrad committed suicide. He committed suicide. He killed himself. So why are they investigating his death like a homicide?
I mean, the text messages, the ebb and flow of it has nothing to do with him. It's all about her. It was more than a push. I personally say that she could have switched that water pump on by herself and there would have been no difference.
And most people would agree with you, though there are some that definitely do not. Eventually, Michelle Carter was arrested and she was charged with manslaughter. Not murder, manslaughter. Okay, I guess that's probably the most they felt that they could get. The prosecution argued that Michelle pushed Conrad into killing himself, that if she was not involved, he would not have died. The defense said Michelle has the right to free speech. It's protected under the First Amendment. She did not kill him with her own hands or with any tools. Conrad was already depressed. He'd already tried to commit suicide previous, and he did it to himself. So, what do you think? Was she responsible for his death? Did she kill him? Or was Conrad going to kill himself anyways? And or was Michelle just caught up in it all and didn't know how to get herself out?
No, we knew there was plenty of time for her to get herself out. Her going to counseling, him going to counseling. If either one of them would have said the things that they were texting, this would have stopped a long time ago. So obviously, he's not going to say it. But as a loving girlfriend, as a individual who is now backstepping and saying that she wanted to help. And if she would have mom's number, going to counseling, going to all these groups, talking to her best friends, all of these things could have easily stopped this and put something in place.
Yeah, I think I would agree. So in the end, Michelle Carter was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in 2017. She was sentenced to 15 months in prison. She served 11 months and 5 days. She got out for good behavior.
Good behavior.
Surprisingly, though, it wasn't the thousands of text messages and emails that were painstakingly gone over during the trial that convicted her. Like all of these things that we have discussed, plus more that we can't fit into this episode. That's not what convicted her.
Hmm.
2 days before Conrad's death, Sam told Sam Boardman, her friend, that Conrad was missing and that she, Michelle, was utterly distraught and devastated. We talked about that a second ago.
Okay.
So this was more evidence of attention seeking and almost like a premeditation, like an early intent that Conrad was going to die and she's already setting the wheels in motion for when he was actually found dead.
Right.
Okay. But then came what others have called Michelle's confession. To the same friend, Sam, Michelle texts, quote, Sam, his death is my fault. Like, honestly, I could have stopped him. I was on the phone with him and he got out of the car because it was working and he got scared and I fucking told him to get back in.
Ooh. Damn. Yeah, no, that is full on confession.
So she, this statement saying she knew what she did was wrong. She could have stopped his death and did not. She knows herself that she is responsible to some extent for his death.
I wouldn't call that involuntary, just saying.
Right. Okay. So, though Michelle's words have already betrayed her real reasons for wanting Conrad to die, the whole attention thing, right? This is the moment, this text message, when Michelle became undeniably culpable for Conrad's death. She had the opportunity to save him, truly and literally save him, but she told him to get back into the vehicle where death was waiting for Conrad. So the presiding judge, Lawrence Moniz, had the final word. Quote, Carter's actions and also her failure to act where she had a self-created duty to Mr. Roy, since she had put him in that toxic environment, constituted each and all wanton and reckless conduct. She instructed Mr. Roy to get back into the truck, well knowing of all the feelings that he had exchanged with her, his ambiguities, his fears, his concerns. End quote. She told him to get back into his vehicle, and the judge says again, quote, what she has reason to know is or is becoming a toxic environment inconsistent with human life. She did nothing. She did not call the police or Mr. Roy's family. She did not issue a simple additional instruction. Get out of the truck.
Don't go back in. I mean, Wow.
So all of this... she never told, like, she never let on to Conrad's family that she had all these discussions with him. It didn't come out until the investigation, and that's how his family learned that she had these suicidal discussions, and pretty much she never once contacted his family to tell them how much he was hurting and how bad it was. Never.
Wow.
So, what do y'all think? Is Michelle Carter guilty? Is she guilty just in the court of law, like legally culpable, or is she morally culpable too? I would love to hear your thoughts about all of this. We put up a discussion thread on our Facebook page at it's at Words to Kill Boy. Go find it on Facebook. Same for Instagram. We would love to hear your thoughts. And for next week, we will have the very first case that really involved linguistics, and it's all about Derek Bentley. So, until then, don't forget, words matter.